Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people and organizations that make an impact around Dallas-Fort Worth. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for joining us, and this is 2022. I am so glad it's 2022, and my first guest is my friend, Tasha Herren-Brough. She's the Senior Vice President of the Dallas Regional Chamber, the Community Engagement Senior Vice President. Tasha, how you doing?
I am doing well, and happy 2022, Chris.
Hey, I got to say, it's been a crazy 2020 and 2021. 2022 is going to be an adventure as well, but I really want to talk about some of the positive things that have happened over the last calendar year with the Greater Dallas Chamber, the Dallas Regional Chamber. You guys have done a lot of things over the last year. In fact, I last talked to you the summertime. Can you talk about what the things that you guys were so proud of that you did this past year?
Oh, wow. Well, first of all, thank you for Chris, for having me on again, and mm-hmm. I just, you know, you and I really hit it off during our last interview, and really were able to talk about some of the things the chamber wanted to accomplish. And really, this past year, in the last 18 to 24 months, has really been about how do we create the DFW region to be the best place to live, work, and do business
right.
for all people.
Right.
For all people. And we know that our region is only as strong as all of our communities. And so we really wanted to focus on a lot of the core things that, you know, that make us the chamber, right? And one of the things is making it an area attractive to businesses and to companies. And right now, DFW is the number one major metro for job growth, right? And
right.
so we've added 143,000 jobs since October 2018 through October 21. And we're also the number two ranked metro area for high-tech jobs. And so when you think about the tech world, generally you think of Silicon Valley and you think of really West Coast, but add us to the list because we are growing those jobs here in our region. And so we're really proud of the way that the DRC has really helped to broker some of these relationships and these moves to our area. We've had, you know, some of the big Fortune 500 headquarters now call DFW home. Jacobs, McKesson, Cormark, CBRE, all of these places are now in our region, which makes us stronger because now we have more jobs to match the great talent pipeline that we have in DFW. But one of the things I'm most proud of, Chris, is, and of course, like someone might say I'm biased, but our work in diversity, equity, and inclusion and community engagement. You know, when I first talked to you, I was fairly new in my position, and the DRC and its leadership and its board members said, after all we've seen over the 18 months during the pandemic, during racial unrest, and all of these things that have been brought to light, the business community has to do something. And mm-hmm. so we started our Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Council made up of our board members. And we've done a lot of work there, really focusing on how we make this a better region for all of us and mm-hmm. not some of us. And some of the things that, we've done is we focused on leadership, and we've completed a board diversity survey so we can make sure that our board is diverse. But also we launched DEI Leaders Connect, and connecting diverse leaders together, that people who lead this work in diversity, equity, and inclusion together. We launched a benchmarking assessment so we can see how we're doing as a region when it comes to DEI. Our education and workforce, we've led coalitions to release over $20 billion in federal stimulus funds for our public and higher education. And community investment in underserved areas, which is near and dear to my heart, you know this.
Oh, yes.
Particularly in southern Dallas County, we contribute over $250,000 to 13 nonprofit organizations that really help amplify the work that needs to be done in underserved communities. And more than that, we know that it's going to take jobs to move into Southern Dallas. So we have worked with over 17 companies to help them explore expanding into Southern Dallas County. And we launched our Southern Dallas Economic Development Guide, which is a tool and a resource for people who are, or companies who are interested in moving to Southern Dallas County, learning that it is a place of economic investment. But we also, I would be remiss if I didn't mention our policing and criminal justice work that we've done, advocating for common sense policy and reforms, and really wanting to get more accountability as it relates to policing and community. And we've supported lots of legislation, including the George Floyd Act, the Back the Blue Act, and the Botham Jean Act. And we've established a great relationship with our new police chief that goes on into this new year, so we can really begin to continue focusing on how do we develop better relationships between police and the community. So we're proud of so many things that we've done in the DEI space and in community engagement and listening and deepening our relationships with a lot of community organizations. And you had me on to talk about our vaccination campaign last summer.
That's right.
And I have to tell you, we had a big job ahead of us, and we said that we were going to do over 600,000 vaccinations by the end of the summer, and we did that. And
fantastic.
That was a part of our Take Care of Business campaign to get the DFW region back to work, back to life. We knew that there were many companies that shut down. We knew that it was impacting communities of color. So we put together, along with a PR firm, Edelman and JBJ, a campaign that led us to 600,000 vaccinations, over 125 vaccination events. We did over 1 million in phone banking contacts over the summer, which led us to actually being considered for an award, which we have received. It is the Pegasus Award for 2021 for our work for this vaccination campaign. And I tell you, we're so proud of that, working alongside so many of the community organizations that really helped us push our campaign.
This is such exciting news. Again, we're talking with Tasha Herron-Brough. She's the Senior Vice President of Community Engagement for the DRC, better known as the Dallas Regional Chamber. And everybody normally thinks about business just being business, but you seriously just broke down why people want to move to the North Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth area, why people want to engage with each other. It's not like, okay, we're having people in this area just stay and they grow and they get older and they just live here. You're talking about people who not just move around all over the state. You're talking about not just people who come here from all over the country. People come here from all over the world. We're attracting talented workers from around the world. And what you just mentioned earlier with your diversity, equity, and inclusion is people from all over the world have different thought processes on how to get things done. And it's almost like iron sharpening iron. When you get different people with different ideas, they become better and they make a better product or they have better business. And it only makes that community even better. Am I wrong?
You are spot on, Chris. And here's what I so love about the business community. And, you know, 18 to 24 months ago, we saw so many organizations making broad statements and proclamations about what they want to do. You know, everybody was moved by what we saw. We were moved by what has happened to a lot of communities during the pandemic. But here's what we have found with a lot of our member organizations that are part of the DRC. They meant it. Mm-hmm. And they didn't just talk about it. They wanted to walk the walk and put things in action. So the companies and the organizations that we work with, our board leadership is committed to this, because you're right. We know that there's a business case to diversity, equity, and inclusion in our organizations. Mm-hmm. Businesses are more productive, right?
And meritocracy. It's called meritocracy.
Absolutely. That's right. And so when you have that level of inclusion and equity within your organizations, you're going to be productive. The culture is better. It grows and thrives. And so, you know, we are lucky to be in this region where we have so many organizations that are committed to this work, and they are not stopping. Not a one-time thing. This has become a fabric of who they are and ingrained in the DNA of a lot of these organizations.
You mentioned the different organizations moving to this area, as well as the employees. I read a statistic that the majority of people moving to the Dallas-Fort Worth area are from L.A. and Chicago.
Oh, yes. Yes. And some of them I know personally. You know, we see people moving in droves. We don't, you know, there are a lot of
quality of life
that are fighting to keep people in their region. We don't quite have that problem, right? People see this as a place of opportunity. You know, you have access to land, low taxes, you know, so you just said the quality of life. When companies are looking for places to relocate, that's something that they are considering. You know, are my families going to benefit?
Mm-hmm.
And the employees that are in my company, their families, are they going to benefit from relocating to that region? So yes, you're absolutely right. That makes a huge difference in why people are moving to the region.
Now, you also mentioned quality of life, and that goes back to, like you said, families moving into the Dallas-Fort Worth area. The Dallas Regional Chamber, you said you've emphasized working with all the different school districts and with the schools and the kids, because literally, if someone's going to move into this area, if they're going to do business here, they want to know that their kids will have the best education that they can, and it starts from the ground up, right?
Absolutely. Education is so important. That's why it's one of our four pillars that we focus on. You know, a lot of people think about us, they think of us about economic development. Of course, that's what you should think about. But we also concern ourselves with education and workforce. How do we make sure that we are preparing students today for tomorrow? And so making sure that we are able to double living wage attainment in a generation. We concern ourselves with public policy. People are moving here because we're pro-business, right? Mm-hmm. We stand for pro-business policy. So organizations know that this is a region that supports that, right? And then, of course, like I said, diversity, equity, and inclusion is a top priority for us. We want to understand how organizations in the region are advancing DEI work and share those best practices and make sure that we are actually being advocates of that work as well. So you're absolutely right. And I have to say, well, I mentioned Southern Dallas County earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kudos to Dr. Michael Hinojosa.
Yes, DISD.
The DISD separate superintendent, who has really, when you talk about making sure that all of our communities are growing and thriving, what he has done under his leadership with DISD, and you think about our state champions, South Oak Cliff High School.
Golden Bears, football champs, 5A.
That's right. They have not only proven themselves on the field, Chris, but they have proven themselves in the classroom. This is a school that is, you know, elevating academic success to another level.
You know what I heard? You know what I heard, Tasha?
Yeah, go ahead.
I heard that there was no player on the football team who had less than a 3-point grade average.
And it's true. And it's true.
Yeah.
And that's what we want for all of our communities, right? So,
yeah,
you know, we talk about equity and making sure that everyone has the ability to grow and thrive. We want that from everyone. And I have to say, Dale Petrosky, who's our great CEO of the Dallas Chamber, was the principal for a day at South Oak Cliff. And we were speechless when the level of commitment from the teachers, the staff, the principal, the students, you know, we were just so in awe of these amazing young people who were really putting academic success as a priority. And so we have just, there's a strong place in our heart for South Oak Cliff High School. So we are just proud of what they've accomplished on the field and off the field.
So the DRC, like I said, is a champion of economic development and the voice of business, and has been established here for a long time. And I know that, like I said, the major corporations, when they come into Dallas-Fort Worth, they reach out to you, or you're able to reach out to them and make sure that they're aware of all the different organizations that they can be a part of. But what about some of the smaller businesses? Do they have an opportunity to join the DRC? And what does the Dallas Regional Chamber offer smaller businesses?
And that's such a great question. I'm so glad that you asked that, because I think one of the things that people think when they hear us is because we are a large organization.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of great big companies, Fortune 500 companies, that are a part of our organization. But we also embrace the small organizations as well, because we know that small business is the bedrock of our communities. And that's one of the reasons why we were so adamant about our vaccination campaign, because we wanted to make sure that we took care of those small businesses in our community. So small businesses are also welcome to be members of the chamber. They get, our CEO likes to say, when you become a member of the chamber, you're in the locker room. And he always uses sports analogies when he's talking to us, but it's being inside the locker room, being amongst a group of organizations that are really all wanting the best for the region and the best for our community.
All on the same team.
All on the same team, really wanting the same things. But here's the other thing. It allows us an opportunity to share experiences and share, you know, how can we be of help to each other? You know, share those things within the business community and have an opportunity to really leverage each other's expertise and work on things together.
Absolutely amazing. You guys do such great work. So my question for you is, how did you join the Dallas Regional Chamber? Tell me your story.
Well, you know, it's interesting. A little bit about my background. I feel like I was born into the real estate business. My father, Al Heron, has owned a real estate business for over 50 years in Southern Dallas County. And so I worked in his business after I graduated college. And I started to do some work with Habitat for Humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And they were buying some properties during the real estate crisis, and we were assisting them. And it led to me working for them, and worked for them for about 10 years. And so it let me have an opportunity to work through 25 different communities across Southern Dallas County, helping families realize the dream of home ownership. And then, you know, this opportunity came up at the chamber, and they were really looking to expand their DEI efforts into the community. And I, you know, was a candidate for a position there. And they said, listen, we think that your expertise in the community and the connections that you have can help us advance our voice as the business community. And so that's how I came to them after about 10 years working for Habitat for Humanity. Then I began my career at the chamber.
So tell me this, because you seem such like a people person anyway. you've had a chance to actually go around and about, and then tell me about how you've had to change it up a little bit because of the pandemic. But yeah. I'm sure you've been, you know, you're all over the place all of the time, meeting with all these different organizations, whether it's Zoom or whether it's in person. That's what you do, right? Am I wrong?
Oh, yeah. And that's the best part of my job, Chris, is, you know, talking to folks like you, but really being the eyes and the ears of the community and also the business voice, figuring out how do we align and really make this a better region. So, yes, I'm talking to business leaders, but I'm also talking to community organizations and faith groups and schools and government officials. So yes, my days are filled with that, but it's so exciting to wake up every day and think about how do we impact our region to make it better. And it's been a lot of Zoom, I'm telling you, a lot of Teams, but we've kept going. And I have to say, Chris, we, you know, have been so incredibly successful and impactful, and during this pandemic, even being virtual.
Yeah.
But we're so happy for the opportunity to be in person, but that didn't stop the work. We continued to bring in more members, to reach out to more organizations, to be in the community, and all virtually. And I'm going to tell you, you know, we've done it and have done it actually quite successfully.
So let's say when a corporation or a small business from outside of the North Texas area contacts the Dallas Regional Chamber, and they're at, I'm assuming they've already decided to move in the area, what are the kind of things that they ask you?
Well, you know, thankfully, they're not calling me directly. They have the benefit of talking to our amazing economic development team.
Okay.
And, you know, that's led by Mike Rosa and Sarah Carabias-Rush. Those are our SVPs that are over our economic development team. And they field those calls all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we were talking earlier about how many organizations and companies are moving and relocating to the area. And so, you know, they're asking about talent and pipeline, right? They want to know, you know, how great is the talent pipeline here, right? So they want to know, how do we support innovation, right? And want to know about our, you know, community and the quality of life, right? They want to know about what other business development is happening, what's going on in the region. Connectivity. Where do people live in comparison to where the jobs are, right? So they want to know all of those things. You know, we have a unique situation in which we are a part of a region that has the best opportunity for expansion and for a company to move into this area.
Mm-hmm.
And so our team is really there to help navigate what those opportunities are, right? And we help companies, we recruit companies, and we focus on, you know, what are the living wages, right? And,
yeah.
And how do we make sure that we're attractive to those companies that want a better place to live for their employees and their families to relocate here. So there's a lot that companies take in consideration, but our team makes sure that we provide the data, the research, and all of those things that help them make the best decision.
It's almost like, and you tell me if I'm wrong, because I'm just painting a picture in my mind here, when these different companies move to Dallas-Fort Worth area, they may reach out to you, maybe for their managers or maybe for their employees, so they can say, this is what this new area has to offer. This is what's going to go on if you move with the company here to Dallas-Fort Worth.
Right. You know, they're going to want to know, you know, what are the benefits to me, you know, if I move here, if
right.
I bring my corporate headquarters here, what are some of the benefits to my business and to the employees that I bring here, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are the costs and incentives, right? What are the incentives for me to relocate there? Let's talk about wages and salaries and taxes, right? And what is the cost of real estate? So those are all of the things that our team has to be prepared to provide, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the strategic priorities of DFW's economic development, right? And what is the region going to look like 5, 10, 20 years from now?
Yes, yes.
So those are the questions that we have to be able to answer.
Yeah, you got to be able to answer the questions like, okay, is the growth of the city headed north? Is it headed east? Is it headed south? Is it headed west? Are they doing a lot more development in the inner city? In other words, the downtown area, right, the Deep Ellum area? Because there are some cities that they're leaving where those cities in their inner cities are actually not growing at all. And everything's moving to the suburbs or the region. And so you've got to be able to let them know what is going on in the Dallas regional area.
You're right. We kind of have to be versed in all things, right?
Yeah.
All things DFW.
Even the churches.
Even, you know, where do people live and shop and entertain, and all those things are factors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to make sure. And we're also talking about labor supply.
Yeah.
How far is the commute? What are the drive times like, right?
Right.
What are the educational institutions like? You know, we are lucky in the fact that we have some of the best educational institutions. I think about, you talk about some of the areas that have been disinvested in. We think about Southern Dallas County, but we have a new story to tell about new investment and reinvestment. And UNT Dallas being the fastest growing public college that sits in Southern Dallas County.
It's right off I-20.
We have to know all of those things, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
So when companies are looking for a place to land, we can offer them a menu of places, right, with different benefits depending on their needs.
And it also allows them, like you said before, to know how many employees that they don't have to transport to Dallas-Fort Worth that are already in Dallas-Fort Worth who may be applying for those jobs.
That's right. And really understanding what are the regional skills that are there, right? And and where are the workers? Where is that labor force?
Yeah.
Where am I going to find that? And that is a priority for most organizations when they are thinking about relocating.
So the Dallas Regional Chamber had a very, very, very fruitful year in 2021. What are some of the things you're looking forward to that you guys are doing for 2022 this year?
Oh, I'm so glad that you asked. There's so many fantastic things that are happening. First, there are a couple of things I want to talk about that are happening right in January. We have our annual meeting in January, and that's going to be January 25th. It is going to be Bob Jordan, who is the Executive Vice President and incoming CEO of Southwest Airlines, is going to be our speaker for our annual meeting. It is going to be at the beautiful Morton Meyerson Symphony Center.
Nice.
So anyone that wants to join us, they can certainly buy a ticket for this. This is where we really talk about where we're going as a region, right? And what is the vision of our region. We're going to talk about some of the things that I talked about earlier, what we did well, but also a look ahead. So we're really excited about that. We have our Women's Business Conference that's also coming up, and it's called She Surgeon, Chris. And the reason why we named it She Surgeon is because it's all about how women have really made a resurgence, reinvention, the resiliency of women, especially through COVID, through racial unrest, through all of these things, how women have really influenced the world. And so we're going to celebrate that on International Women's Day on March the 8th at the Hyatt Regency. So we would love people to spend their International Women's Day with us. It's going to be an exciting time. We're actually going to give out an Athena Award, which recognizes exceptional women who excel in their careers. So we're going to get that out that day. And so we're really proud of the work of a lot of these women. And that's hosted and sponsored by Jackson Walker. And so we're really proud of that work. But the other thing is, and Chris, we could talk about this forever, but of course our DEI work that's near and dear to my heart. We're going to be launching a new benchmarking assessment that will help our members improve their DEI efforts and really figuring out a baseline to measure their progress. So now we got folks saying, yes, we want to do all this work. Well, let's measure your progress and see how successful we have been. And so we have launched this DEI benchmarking assessment that we're pretty proud of. And I think I mentioned before our Southern Dallas Economic Development Guide, which is a tool and a website that can be utilized for folks to really get to understand the Southern Dallas County region better. And when I talk about Southern Dallas County, I'm not just talking about Oak Cliff or South Dallas. I'm talking about DeSoto, Cedar Hill, Duncanville, Lancaster, and thinking about that part of the region as an economic opportunity and how businesses can relocate and move there. And what are the best things about Southern Dallas? And that website is launching January 25th, the same day as our annual meeting. And we're incredibly proud of that.
And we are so proud of you, too. Tasha, keep up the great work. And we really appreciate getting a visit with you about the Dallas Regional Chamber. Thanks again for joining us. And we've got to have you on again real soon.
Of course. Thank you, Chris.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And joining us right now is the communications manager from Make-A-Wish North Texas, Sarah Relke. How you doing, Sarah?
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me. I'm doing well today.
And Happy New Year. It's 2022, and I can't think of a better person to have on the show because everybody needs a Make-A-Wish nowadays, right?
Exactly. We could all use a little bit of hope, couldn't we?
Yes, we can. And I really like the way Make-A-Wish North Texas has been impacting the lives of kids. In fact, a lot of people say research shows a wish can give kids the strength to fight against anything and overcome even critical illnesses. Can you talk about the Make-A-Wish Foundation, North Texas, and how it first started? Because I think a lot of people have heard about some of the wonderful things that you do, but they just don't know some of the details. And I thought today would be a great day.
Yeah, definitely. So I'll give a little bit of background on Make-A-Wish as a whole first and how that got started. So
sure.
In 1980, there was a boy named Chris Gracious, and he was 7 years old, diagnosed with leukemia, and the prognosis was not looking great, but more than anything, Chris wanted to become a police officer. And so he was living in Arizona at the time, and the local police station and community heard about what Chris wanted, about his wish, and they decided that they were going to do something about it. So they actually flew Chris out to the Department of Public Safety headquarters in Arizona through a helicopter, which was amazing for him. And he got to ride in a patrol car, and he was named an honorary state patrolman. And he even got his own uniform and some other accessories that made him look and feel like a real policeman.
Mm-hmm.
And so following that, the same year, several of the people who were responsible for making that wish come true decided that it would be a great idea to do that for other kids with critical illnesses as well. And so they came together and they started the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
And then the Make-A-Wish Foundation started spreading around the country. And how did it get to the North Texas area? And again, I've heard so many stories about Make-A-Wish, and I know a lot of people have too. I want to hear about how it got here as well. And then I also want to know how you got involved.
Yeah, so this chapter, Make-A-Wish North Texas, was started in 1982. It was actually one of the first chapters that was founded in the country. There are chapters within every state. I think there's 60 total. There's a couple states that overlap, and then we have international chapters as well. So there's Make-A-Wish around the entire world, which is awesome. But 1982 is when it came here, and our chapter spans 161 of the 254 counties in Texas. So basically, if you cut Texas in half, we're kind of the top half of Texas.
My goodness.
And it's a lot of area to cover. And since we were founded back in 1982, we've granted more than 12,000 wishes.
That is absolutely amazing. So what is the process? Because we know that usually kids are, you know, either in the hospital or they're having some kind of illness that they're fighting, and then maybe the parents or friends send a request, or maybe the kids write a wish, and then you guys receive it?
Yeah. So the process kind of works. We do not just grant wishes for children with terminal illnesses. I want to make that clear. It's children with all types of critical illnesses. So they do not necessarily have an end-of-life prognosis. But to qualify, a child with a critical illness must be between 2.5 and 18 years old, and they can be referred by their parent or guardian or a medical professional or even by themselves. If they're a little bit older, sometimes that happens. And after the referral, a medical professional will verify that they do have a critical illness that qualifies for Make-A-Wish. And then we determine if they're eligible, and we get to work to discover their wish, talking to them about, you know, what would really bring them joy and hope, and whether that is they want to have a playhouse or become a superhero for a day, we make that happen.
It's absolutely amazing, and I know you must get thousands and thousands of them, so I know it's hard to choose and actually sort through a lot of them. But some of them are also really, really simple. It's like the simplest thing you wouldn't even imagine, but that's something that some kid really would like to see happen in their lives.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, especially in the past year and a half, lots of kids have wished for very simple things. Maybe that's a playhouse in their backyard because they weren't able to go to their local park and play on the equipment because mm-hmm. they needed to stay safe, or even, you know, some of them want a really cool gaming computer. So there are things that they have wished for that they can use at home all of the time that really bring them some comfort, especially if they're in the middle of some difficult treatment.
Now, some of the Make-A-Wish Foundation wishes that have come true involved like meeting someone famous, and that's the ones that usually get a lot of attention. Can you talk about some of those and how simple or how difficult that might be?
Yeah, so, I mean, pre-pandemic, it was a little bit simpler.
Oh, yeah.
But we always work with our national organization on those types of celebrity wishes. We did have a child several years ago now who wished to, I believe it was Luke Bryan. He wished to meet Luke Bryan.
And so the singer.
He was able to do that. He was a huge fan. And he went to a concert and had a meet and greet with him, and he actually was invited up on the stage to play a song with him. And that actually ended up launching his career. So, you know, Make-A-Wish grants all types of wishes, and they can really just change the course of a child's life in a positive way. But now celebrity wishes are mainly virtual to keep everybody, you know, the child and the celebrity safe, but it still is so special when those kids get to meet this person that they're such a big fan of, and it can really just give them so much hope.
We're talking with Sarah Roelke. She is the communications manager with Make-A-Wish North Texas, and I asked a little earlier, how did you get involved?
Yeah, so I actually have only been working with Make-A-Wish since May of 2021, so I'll be coming up on a year this year, but I actually first learned about Make-A-Wish during my time with Chi Omega, my sorority at the University of Missouri. So Chi Omega chapters across the country actually partner with Make-A-Wish to raise funds and help grant wishes. And my chapter in particular helped raise funds for the Missouri chapter. So throughout the year, we did lots of really fun campaigns and fundraisers on campus to raise money for those Wish Kids. And I actually had the opportunity to meet a few Wish Kids while I was at Mizzou and with Chi Omega, and that really just touched my heart because I could see, you know, that they were able to find so much joy and happiness through the excitement of having their wish granted, whether they were going to Disney or getting a playhouse or whatever it was. But that just felt so important to me to make sure that these kids could find this happiness and something that would really sustain them in the long term. And then fast forward a few years, my husband and I are both from Texas, and we wanted to move back to this area. And so when I was job searching, I found the job at Make-A-Wish, and it just really felt like the perfect fit so I could use my background in journalism and support the mission in a deeper way and help raise support.
That is excellent because, again, I've said this a number of times, a job is only getting paid. A career is when you really enjoy what you're doing and you actually feel good about what you're doing. That way, it doesn't even matter. But as long as, I mean, you're happy, you're able to put more into it. So I'm so happy for you that you're doing exactly what you love to do. That being said,
thank you.
Yeah, that being said, I know there's been some stories of the Make-A-Wish where, like, the kids, either do they ever really know ahead of time, or is it a total surprise? Because I can just imagine the kid not even knowing, but then all of a sudden it happens. That's probably most of them, right?
Yeah, it kind of depends on the wish. One of my favorite things is when a child is surprised by the timing of the wish. So usually they've determined what they want. They know that they are getting a playhouse or a gaming computer or going to Disney World, but they don't exactly know when it's going to happen. And so we like to do wish reveals where a child will find out about their wish. And so sometimes it's a surprise, like at a school, and the whole class will be involved and kind of surprise the child with their wish and say, you know, you're going to Disney World or whatever that might be. Or sometimes the parents can do a really good job of kind of keeping their backyard a little bit covered up or keeping the windows covered for a while a playhouse is built. And so those moments when the child sees their wish or knows that they're going on their trip or whatever it is for the first time are so special. And we try to get videos and photos of that as much as we can to really capture that magic.
So you mentioned that, did you say over 12,000 wishes for the North Texas Make-A-Wish? What was the figure again?
Yes. 12,000 wishes since 1982.
Okay, so I know there's different wishes, and some of them are smaller and some of them are larger. Is it like that you guys grant wishes every single day? What's the, I don't want to say the business model, but how are you able to do this? How is it organized?
Yeah, Yeah, it's not every single day, but there also sometimes are multiple wishes in one day, depending on, you know, especially if it's a weekend, that mm-hmm. happens pretty often. So last year we granted 300 wishes, even in the midst of the pandemic, and we're hoping to grant 420 this coming year. And actually pre-pandemic we granted 600 every year, so we're just trying to work back up to that number, but we have an amazing staff that works really hard to get all the details in place. We have some program managers, and we have so many volunteers that make it happen and work really hard every day for our Wish Kids.
You know, we just finished the Christmas holidays, and you guys are reminding me of, like, Santa's elves. It's like, do you have an inventory back there? I mean, how do you keep up with all the different things that are quote-unquote items?
Yeah, there are so many moving parts and pieces, and our wish managers are in charge of that. So it is their job to be the ones to order the parts and pieces and to work with, you know, local businesses and try to see if maybe a local business will donate their time or resources for, you know, a building of a playhouse or a room redecoration or whatever it might be. We even recently had a company donate they raise cats, and a child wanted a ragdoll cat in particular, and mm-hmm. they were actually able to donate a cat to her. So it's amazing to be able to meet these types of people that find out about our mission and are willing to take part in some way, whether that's big or small.
We mentioned, you know, Make a Wish for children. Is there ever like a group of children or a family that you've taken care of? Is it just individual children?
Yeah, a lot of times, many times, the whole family will be involved in the wish. And so, you know, if a child wishes to go to Disney World, their siblings do go with them and their parents, of course. And we even have some families who do have multiple wish children, which is such a difficult situation because that means that multiple children in the family have a critical illness. But mm-hmm. We definitely want to include the whole family because an illness affects the entire family.
Yes.
And it's hard. It's not just hard on the child. It's hard on the parents and their siblings as well.
And you guys are able to uplift them and shine a light on them. But not only that, it's like it makes them happy. And you've had situations, as you mentioned, where it actually helps the child overcome or extend their life.
Yeah, and it brings them hope. I mean, it brings them so much hope for their futures because they realize that their wish is possible, and then they believe that they can do anything. So they, you know, have this wish granted and see that, you know, I learned to ride a horse, or I learned to mm-hmm. do this and that, and I can do anything. You know, in 10 years, who knows what I might be doing. So it's just really amazing to see that transition. And even in the process of as they're looking forward to their wish happening, they really find hope in that because it gives them something to persevere toward. And so throughout the entire wish journey, there's just so much hope that's instilled within them.
That is so awesome. And again, I can see how this is something that you know, you find your career in because, like you said, it's almost like if you're an educator, because a lot of people wonder how do teachers do this or how do educators do this? Well, you find a joy knowing that you've affected some lives. And I think that's probably what you're feeling. Am I right?
Yeah, it is such an amazing feeling to know that that my job really does have a purpose. And I mean, I knew in college that I wanted to work for a nonprofit. It's just something that's always been on my heart. And I knew I would want to have a career where I was making a difference every day. And my skills lie in journalism and communications, and it's just amazing to know that I can use those skills and natural abilities for good.
And, you know, Make-A-Wish has been around, like you said, about 40 years or so, a little over 40 years. I'm sure there's partners with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, especially Make-A-Wish North Texas. Who are some of the partners that have helped make some of these dreams and wishes come true for kids?
Yeah, we have, I mean, there are tons of partners.
Oh,
we have restaurants and businesses and all sorts of people that like to help us out, as well as individuals. But there are just so many people who get involved. One of our really amazing partners is Wish to Play. And the folks there actually are the ones who create and build these really incredible playhouses and tree houses for kids. And I mean, they look like they're incredible. We had one gal who wanted her hers to look like a kind of like a hobbit dwelling.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
So it kind of, it looks like it's coming out of the ground, and it's really cool. It's a craft shack on the inside. So, you know, they gave her plenty of shelves and like a comfy loft area and things like that. But anything that the child imagines, they can build. And it's just, there's some really incredible partners that we love working with.
Have you ever had a child, you know, who overcame their situation, wind up working for Make-A-Wish North Texas?
Yes, this happens pretty frequently across the country, and it's happened a lot at our North Texas chapter as well. We do have one girl who is working for us now. She had her wish granted when she was, I think, about 8 or 9 years old, and she wished for a horse at the time, and so she got her wish for a horse and took lessons and all these types of really amazing things, and was able to overcome her illness. And then a little bit later, she went on to intern with us, and now she is full-time and works as a wish manager. So it's amazing to see that full circle moment, to know that she was so impacted by her wish as a child that she wanted to turn around and help grant wishes for other kids. And actually, a very full circle moment is that she's currently working on a wish for a child who wants a horse.
That is amazing as well. These are all great stories. And again, I'm not sure if this is, you do this very much, but the people that look at the letters, I know it's really tough to look at the different letters or the requests and try to sort them out, even though you have, as you mentioned earlier, you know, certain requirements or certain things that make it possible for the child to get the wish granted. But it's kind of be kind of tough sometimes to see all those different letters and say, or do you look at it like, oh, I think we can do this one. I think we might be able to pull this off. We've never done this one before, or we haven't done this in a few years.
Yeah. So it kind of depends on the wish. Usually the child is referred to us before they're kind of thinking about their wish. And then we have volunteers and staff members who work with them kind of to think about what might be the best fit for them. The options are really endless, and the possibilities and the creativity that goes into them are really, really cool. So we kind of say the sky's the limit. And then we work within that to see, you know, what resources we have and who we can gather support from to make those happen. So we really, I mean, we try to make wishes happen as often as we can. And if it's something that, you know, might be a little too lofty, then we're able to pull back a little bit and help the child think of something that is still perfect for them and will bring them joy and happiness.
I'm glad you brought that down, because I was thinking, wait a minute, that is a good solution. It's like, we'll meet you a little bit halfway. We may not be able to build you a rocket ship to the moon, but maybe we can take you a trip to NASA.
Yes, exactly. Just like that.
That is absolutely wonderful. So I know there's a website. Can you tell people how they can find out more about the Make-A-Wish North Texas and how they might be either involved as a volunteer or they might be able to submit a wish?
Yeah, so our website is ntx.wish.org. And on our website, we have lots of things like stories about recent wishes. You can contact our staff members there. You can learn about some of our upcoming events, and also sign up to volunteer or learn more about partnering with Make-A-Wish. So there are a lot of ways to get involved. One of the most popular volunteer opportunities with us is to volunteer as a wish granter. And that's such a great opportunity because right now it's, for the most part, remote, and it's easy to do from home. And so our wish granters can sign up, and once they pass their background check and go through training, they can sign up to talk with our wish kids and help them determine the heart of their wish, and kind of learn more about them, all about their favorite things and their pets and what they like to do in school. And so they get to chat with the child and help determine what they might like their wish to be. And we also are always looking for volunteers for events and people to advocate on behalf of Make-A-Wish as well.
Exactly. And you know what else? I also thought it was very cool that you guys have these opportunities and you're there for a lot of different people on so many different levels. But I also thought it was kind of interesting that Make-A-Wish North Texas is accessible, especially during the pandemic, because I mentioned 2021, but 2020 is when the pandemic started, and everybody talks about a pivot. Can you talk about how you guys had to do things a little bit differently this past year and a half or so? Because I know, you know, when the pandemic hit, it's like you guys are people persons, and you're always doing things with people, and the pandemic changed a lot of organizations on how they were able to do what they do. Can you give us some examples about that? Because I know that had to be kind of tough.
Yeah, I mean, the pandemic changed everything, didn't it? So it changed the way we do things, but it did not stop us from granting wishes. And like I said earlier, last year we safely granted more than 300 wishes for things like gaming computers and virtual celebrity meetings, playhouses, shopping sprees, staycations, wishes for puppies and kittens, room redecorations, swimming pools. I mean, so many beautiful things that brought hope to these kids during such a difficult and isolating time mm-hmm. when they were spending time at home. But I think it's really important to mention that these wishes, even though maybe it wasn't a trip to France as they might have pictured originally, they were still able to find so much comfort and joy while they were at home and staying safe. And so throughout all of this, we just kept health and safety as the priority to make mm-hmm. sure that our kids were safe and their families were safe and that our staff was safe. And so we worked with the Make-A-Wish National Medical Advisory Board, as well as some chapter-specific medical advisors on the best guidance to try to, you know, grant wishes as safely as possible and to make sure that these kids were able to find hope and joy through the journey.
And I know last year, because a lot of people, I'm bringing this up because it hasn't gotten cold yet, but you know it's about to get cold. During mm-hmm. the Great Freeze here in North Texas, the state of Texas, the Great Freeze, a lot of businesses and charities were interrupted at least a week, and things were, you had to be very on top of your game to keep things going. How did it affect the staff, and how did it affect what you did that particular week? Because I know there were probably some harrowing stories and some good stories in there, too.
Yeah, so it definitely
it was a challenge.
stalled efforts during that time.
Yeah.
But a lot of our staff worked from home anyway, especially at this point. But we are spread out across so many areas in North Texas. We have a few offices, but everybody also has the capability to work from home. And so if people had power, they could still work on those wishes and communicate with families as was needed and reschedule any deliveries or pickups or things like that. But we just tried our best to keep things going and make sure there wasn't too much of a stall. And luckily it didn't last for too long, but we were right back up as soon as we could be.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Do you ever do a situation with the Make-A-Wish where kids ask for, like, a meal? Something
a meal?
That simple. Yes, yeah, something that simple. Like, you know, I mean, in other words, I'm trying to figure out if there's a Make-A-Wish that's too small for you.
Too small.
Yeah, like a cake. Or something that you would,
yeah,
you're like, oh my kids, goodness, and then you either.
We have had kids, yeah, who have just wished for like a birthday party.
Right.
You know, that's all they wanted, a birthday party with their families. But even when those wishes are, I mean, no wish is too small, but
okay.
if it does seem like something that we could add to or enhance at all, we try to do that. So maybe the child can have their birthday party, but we also, you know, give them some really awesome presents that mm-hmm. Are unexpected and can bring them a lot of joy. So, yeah, no wish is too small, but we definitely want to make it super special and memorable for the child as much as we can.
Okay, here we are in 2022. What are some of the things that you guys are looking forward to? Are there any projects or any events that you guys will be doing that are kind of special that you want to earmark and let everybody know about?
Yeah, we are super excited to bring back some of our events that we had to temporarily cancel for the past couple of years. But this year in 2022, in Dallas, we have our 25th anniversary of Wish Night. And that is such a fun event. It takes place on April 30th at the Hilton Anatole. And it's a black tie gala with dinner and dancing and lots of powerful stories from our Wish Kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it really just showcases our mission and
raises money for these kids. It's going to be a really, really fun night. And tickets are available right now on our website, which again is ntx.wish.org.
Any other events?
Yeah, we do have events throughout our regions. That's the only Dallas kind of specific one. We have a golf tournament in Fort Worth that'll be coming up in the spring as well. And just along with these events, we're hoping to grant at least 420 wishes this year. And fundraising at events is a huge part of what we do and a big source of revenue. So it's really just such a blessing that we are going to bring those back this year. And Wish Night Dallas alone will hopefully raise more than $1 million for our Wish Kids.
Yes, and again, those wishes are so enlightening and impactful. And it's like you said, it gives kids hope. And that's why I was so glad we were able to get you on the show to talk about the Make-A-Wish North Texas and all the wonderful things you do for so many, so many kids, and how people can partner with you, how people can volunteer, and how people can see if a wish can come true for someone that they know as well. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We've got to do it again soon. I'm going to check back in with you a little bit later on in the year. Will that work?
Yes, definitely. That sounds great.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, Sarah Relke, she's Communications Manager, Make-A-Wish North Texas, and Tasha Heron-Bruff, Senior Vice President of Community Engagement at the Dallas Regional Chamber, just two of the great organizations that we've been visiting with over the years here at Better Living. And as we start 2022, let's just remind everybody, we cannot thank you enough for listening in and enjoying this program. We've had an opportunity to show the empathy in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the North Texas area, with the various organizations that a lot of people may not have known much about or had never heard anything at all about. And that's why we love doing the show, to let you find out about different groups and organizations that have made a big difference here in Dallas-Fort Worth, including Uplift Education, Lost Paws Rescue, 4-0 Cliff, the North Texas Food Bank. See, the North Texas Food Bank, everybody knows all about it, but you may not know that your next-door neighbors are going hungry. And then you hear this program and you find out there's people every day that are not, you know, the typical person staying on a corner with a sign asking for food, that needs something to eat and needs something to eat after school. My Possibilities, Sandlot Charities, the Fort Worth Better Business Bureau, the Cancer Supports Communities, A Break for Grandmothers, taking care of all the grandmothers and honoring them, those grandmothers who kept their families together and kept the children of their kids from Child Protective Services, the Oak Cliff Chamber, the Dallas Regional Chamber, as we mentioned, Arlington Charities, Inc., Concilio, the All-Star Projects of Dallas, Development for Dallas After School, Minnie's Pantry, Blocking Out Hunger, Education is Freedom, Ranch Hand Rescue, North Texas Folds of Honor, South Fair Community Development, Operation Kindness, Uplift Education, the SPCA of Texas, the Dallas Museum of Art, the Dallas Black Academy of Arts and Letters, the Marcus Graham Project, Lena Pope in Tarrant County, BAPS Charities, the Hindu Foundation in Irving, Texas, of course, the Dallas Police Department, the Dallas Fire Department, all of our first responders. We've also opened our doors to them so that their stories can be told as well. Dallas Area Rape Crisis Center, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Again, these are just some of the organizations that have shared their stories and let you know how you can either partner with them, be a volunteer, or actually maybe use their services, because this is a community. Everywhere in North Texas, we all know each other, and we all just need to know each other better, and that's how we all survive and get through the crisis, or we all share the joy of things getting done and people doing positive things. So again, we want to thank you for listening to Better Living. I'm Chris Arnold. Be sure to listen in next week as we highlight other organizations and events happening right here in Dallas-Fort Worth. Have a great day, everybody, and so long, and here's to a great 2022.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.